Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The recent St. Louis City primary election showed how a split vote can give victory to a candidate who does not win a majority of votes. Louis Reed won with less than 40%. His two opponents, Senator Jamala Nasheed and Alderwoman Megan Green, split more than 60% of the votes. Clearly, more people voted against Reed than for him. Mayor Crewson won her primary race in similar fashion. Both races produced calls to reconsider the way we elect candidates in the city. We had a number of Facebook comments. Celia wrote, runoff or ranked choice voting would get us markedly different leadership in the city. Megan wrote, we definitely need runoff or ranked choice. This happens way too often. And Cole wrote, we need ranked choice voting. Signatures are being collected now on a petition in St. Louis to change the voting system. Joining me in studio is an expert on the subject. David Kimball is professor and graduate director of political science at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. He is the author of books such as Helping America Vote, The Limits of Election Reform, and is the co-editor of Controversies in Voting Behavior. David, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What options do we have in changing the way we vote?
Well, if you look around the world, there are actually quite a few options. The callers who wrote in, the ranked choice voting is one that's been adopted in about a dozen or so cities in the United States where voters rank their choices, first choice, second choice, third choice, instead of just picking one like we're used to doing.
If you would be a little more specific as to how that would work.
Right. So in an election for mayor, for example, the ballot would give you a spot to check the name of the candidate you want for your first choice, and then another, usually the next column over, you can indicate your second choice, and then the next column, your third choice, and so forth, so that voters can give a fuller expression of the candidates they prefer. Then when the votes are counted, it's a little more complicated than what we're used to. They start by counting the first choice votes only, and if a candidate has a majority, then that person wins and the election's over. But if not, then they would eliminate the candidates who came in last place and reallocate those votes to the second choice of those voters, and sort of keep doing that process until a candidate has a majority of the votes, and then that person's the winner.
Is there always a winner? Is it always possible to come up with a majority in this kind of a scenario?
It does. I mean, if necessary, you eliminate everybody until there's only two candidates, and then one of the two has more votes than the other. I suppose you could have a tie after all that, and then maybe you flip a coin or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we keep hearing about a runoff vote of some sort. I mean, how does this play into the scenario?
The system I just described, what some called ranked choice or voting, others call instant runoff voting, because you just have one election, but that sort of reshuffling of the votes is sort of like the runoff portion of counting the ballots. I mean, another alternative would be to have a runoff election, like Chicago recently had their mayoral primary, and the top two candidates in the primary then go ahead to a runoff election that's coming up in a couple weeks.
But of course, you have the expense of an additional election.
Right. You have the expense of an additional election and the extra burden on voters that they have to show up for two elections now instead of one.
Is the ranked choice voting, is that really the one that most people look at in terms of the alternative, or are there other options as well?
There are other options. I mean, if we look at the rest of the world, many other democracies use some form of proportional voting, what we call proportional voting, where one variation would be the voters select their party on the ballot, and then the votes are counted. And if a party gets, say, 35% of the votes, then they're awarded 35% of the seats in Parliament. Those systems are more different than ours. I think ranked choice voting is gaining popularity in America because it's a fairly simple alteration to our current voting rules. It's not a dramatic departure from the way we currently vote.
Is it constitutional?
It is, yeah. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires just voting for one candidate or that requires our current rules. But neither the U.S. Constitution nor the Missouri Constitution require the current rules.
But this would require, I would imagine, a fairly significant education campaign, a campaign to get voters in on how it all works.
Right. I think that's one of the biggest challenges, that it's in the United States, we're used to voting for one candidate. That's the way it's always been done, right? And so this would be a change, and it would take an effort to explain to voters how the new system works and how they cast their ballots so that they do so properly.
Would there be any limit to the number of candidates who could run in elections then?
No, and it seems, at least in the United States, that it encourages more candidates to run for local office when you use these ranked choice rules.
A lot of fringe candidates, I would guess.
Possibly, right. I mean, the advantage to the additional candidates is they can run knowing that they won't act as a spoiler, that their supporters can vote for them first and then choose whoever they want second, and know that they're votes will then get transferred to somebody else if that candidate gets eliminated.
Well, as an expert on all of this, what would your choice be? And does it really make sense to change?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't have a strong opinion one way or another. I think in the United States, it's nice. Well, you know, we have a very decentralized system of government. Each state and each city can, to some extent, do its own thing, and it's nice that we have now about a dozen cities or so experimenting with ranked choice voting, and now the state of Maine has adopted it for their federal elections. So we can see how it goes, and if it works well, as the proponents argue, then maybe it's worth adopting in a more widespread fashion.
It has been used, obviously, in some places. And how has it worked? I mean, there must be some feeling that it worked well, or it needs to be worked on.
Right. It seems to be growing in popularity in the United States. I think there's a push in other places to adopt it. I said there's about a dozen cities that use it. They've all adopted it fairly recently, since the year 2000, so it's still relatively new for the most part. Those cities are still using it and haven't gotten rid of it.
Do we have any sense of how the politicians themselves feel about it?
Yeah, that's a more delicate question. I think, most politicians are wary of changing the voting rules when they got elected under the current rules. I mean, I think that's sort of the natural impulse. Where, I do know in some cases where it's been adopted have had a similar situation like the two recent citywide elections in St. Louis, where the winner got less than a majority. Maine adopted it statewide recently after they had a period where out of 11 gubernatorial elections, the winner got less than a majority. And so there was sort of this long period and sort of led to pent up, I think, frustration and then led voters to vote to change the rules.
It really seems contrary to the democratic principle to have someone in office who is far less than 50% of the vote, whether it's here or anyplace else.
Right. Majority rule is a pretty important tenet of democracy.
Yeah. I think of some of the things that are going on in Washington now with regard to, 60% votes for cloture and what have you, or less than 50% vote to move ahead on some things. It just doesn't seem right somehow.
Right. And we don't know. I mean, it's possible that if, to be fair, it's possible that that Lewis Reed or Mayor Crewson might have gotten a majority if it was just a one-on-one contest against somebody else, or if voters were allowed to rank their second choice and so forth. So, but we don't know for certain.
Well, could you still have no one with a majority under the ranked choice voting? I'm just trying to sort that out in my head. If you have even a large number of candidates, and even so, though some of those votes are excluded, couldn't you wind up with someone that still didn't have a majority?
Yes and no. I mean, you'll end up with a winner who has the majority of the remaining votes still being counted. But if a significant number of voters don't list a second choice, right, then they'll essentially be eliminated from the final count. And so you It's kind of a technical thing, but yeah. You could have a final count that's really not based on a majority of all the people who showed up to vote.
I think what I'm doing is giving evidence here of the need for education on
right.
as to how this whole thing works. Would the actual vote be more secure under this system for any reason?
Yeah, I don't see a change in the security issue. The places that use this, they use similar type of ballots that we're used to seeing, either a paper mm-hmm. ballot or a touchscreen. With some kind of, you know, paper backup. I don't see being different either way with this.
Yeah, just kind of recap it. Let's go over it again, because it might be difficult for some people to absorb. What do you see as the advantage? We'll stick with ranked choice voting here. Mm-hmm. What is the basic advantage to that, and what disadvantages do you see?
Sure. A couple of potential advantages. An important one is that voters will be able to give a fuller expression of their candidate preferences, not just the one voting for one, but their second choice and third choice. And if they support a minor candidate, they can still do so with the assurance that their vote will be transferred to their next best choice if that candidate gets eliminated. So you avoid what we call a wasted vote problem. In the cities using it in the United States, it seems to encourage more candidates to run.
And that's a good thing?
And a more diverse group of candidates to run, which I think is a good thing. In local elections, it's often a challenge to find people to run in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it appears that it, at least in these American cities, that it produces a more civil type of campaign, that if you and I are running for office and I want your voters to choose me as their mm-hmm. second choice, then I should be nice to you.
You shouldn't call me a name.
Yeah, I should point out to voters where you and I agree on, mm-hmm. on important issues, right? Instead of just attacking you. And so it seems like it's mm-hmm. worked out that way. So those seem like some pretty important advantages. I think the biggest potential disadvantage is it's new, it's more complicated, and it will definitely take an effort to explain to voters how to properly cast their ballots so that they don't make mistakes.
What might it do in a city like St. Louis, which is so heavily Democratic? I mean, very few Republicans even bother to run. What would ranked choice voting mean for a city of St. Louis above and beyond what we've just talked about?
I think potentially it would have the biggest impact in the primary elections, mm-hmm. like the one last week for President of the Board of Aldermen, or the mayoral primary back in 2017, mm-hmm. Where you've got multiple candidates running, and the winner won with 35%. Mm-hmm. Potentially it could produce a different outcome, but it's not clear to me that it would necessarily. I mean, there's an assumption among some folks that, you know, in last week that Reid was sort of the establishment candidate, mm-hmm. and Nasheed and Green were sort of the progressive alternatives, and they split the progressive vote and therefore helped mm-hmm. Reid. So, you know, maybe if these rules had been in place, one of the other candidates mm-hmm. would have won, but that's not guaranteed.
It doesn't sound to me, again, I point to you as the expert, it doesn't sound to me like you're terribly enthusiastic about ranked choice voting.
I'm undecided and trying to keep an open mind and see how it works, since it's fairly new.
Right. One other thing, that term that I've come across in looking over this material, is something called approval voting. What is that?
Approval voting is a different set of rules where, instead of just voting for one candidate, that you would mark your ballot and put a check mark next to the candidates that you approve of, or the candidates that you find acceptable mm-hmm. to hold the office, and leave blank the ones you don't want. And so it's, it works kind of under the same theory as ranked choice voting, that you can indicate a preference for more than one candidate, but you count the votes. Whoever gets the most votes wins. Like the current rules.
You're just voting for more candidates, but nothing else really changes.
Right. I mean, I think the theory there is sort of like ranked choice voting, that it would, if there's a consensus candidate who appeals to a lot of different constituencies, that person is likely to win under approval voting.
You also would not necessarily have someone winning with a majority.
Right. Yeah.
You're not tossing any votes.
There's nothing. There's nothing in the rules that requires a majority winner. Right. So you could still get a winner who wins with less than 50% of the votes.
Any other concepts out there that we haven't talked about that you know maybe could wend their way into this whole process?
Right. Well, the other new system that's actually going to be used in the election next month in the Ferguson-Florissant school district is called cumulative voting. Mm-hmm. And this is used in elections where you have you're electing multiple officers to the same body. So in the case of the school board election, they're electing members mm-hmm. to the school board. And under the normal at-large rules that we use in the United States, if there's say three candidates running, you the voter get three votes, and you can pick any of the three candidates you want. And they count the votes, and who are the three that get the most votes wins. But with cumulative voting, you can concentrate your votes. So if you want, if you really, really like one candidate, you can give all three of your votes to that one candidate, for example. So you can accumulate your votes.
That's interesting. I mean, so you actually could have three votes if there are three candidates.
If there are three candidates, yeah. But yeah. You don't have to, you can give more than one vote to a single candidate if you like that person a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, there does seem to be a kind of a growing chorus. I wouldn't say it's necessarily overwhelmingly large at this point, but there does seem to be a lot of interest in looking at new ways to do this.
There is. I mean, I think no set of voting rules are perfect. They all have mm-hmm. some advantages and disadvantages, but I think we're learning more of the disadvantages of the voting rules that we've been using so mm-hmm. often, that you can have a winner that doesn't get a majority. The current rules often give great advantage to the majority party or majority group in a community and make it hard for smaller groups to win representation. And so, yeah, we're learning some of the flaws of our current rules.
We will see. We'll have to wait and see how this begins to shake down. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.